الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. الحمد لله، we praise Allah, we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is at his favor, there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. All you who believe, fear Allah as you ought to be feared, and don't die except as Muslims. All humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it a slate that scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah to only demand your mutual rights, and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is your Raqib over you. All you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct, in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du, certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah, and the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen, and every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is a straying, and every straying is in the fire. Continuing with our class in Aqidah, we're with the book Al-Ibana عن أصول الديانة by أبو الحسن العشري وذاقيدة أبو الحسن العشري رحمه الله. We've been covering his عقيدة now for well over a year, and sometimes when we cover the detail it seems as if there's a lot to cover in Islam, and there is, alhamdulillah. However, if we take ourselves back to the first class, we find that this deen is easy, as we read the basis of this aqidah in just one short class. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We are left off with this point that we'll continue on inshaAllah, and this is the statement of Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah. وَنُعَوِّلُ فِيمَا اخْتَلَفْنَا فِيهِ عَلَى كِتَابِ رَبِّنَا عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَسُنَّةِ نَبِيِّنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَإِجْمَاعِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَمَا كَانَ فِي مَعْنَاهُ ولا نبتدع في دين الله بدعة لم يأذن الله بها ولا نقول على الله ما لا نعلم. This is the statement of the Shaykh, and we rely in the affairs that we have differed on. We rely on the Book of Allah, the Book of our Lord Azza wa Jal, and the Sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the Ijma' of the Muslims, and that which is in the meaning of the Ijma' of the Muslims. And we don't invent any bid'ah in this deen that Allah hasn't given anyone permission to do so, and we don't say about Allah that which we have no knowledge of. We had explained most of this in the previous classes, and we wanted as we had ended on this point on bid'ah, and that we don't invent in this deen any bid'ah that which Allah has not given anyone permission to invent. We had ended on this point, and we can just refer to the last tape or the summarized version of the book of the Shaykh Salim al-Hilali, Bid'ah and its evil effects on the Ummah. And today, inshaAllah ta'ala, we want to continue with this point, and we don't say about Allah that which we have no knowledge of. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a few ayat in the Quran, warns us about saying that which we have no knowledge of. And we can begin with the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 151. Rather, let's begin with the verse from Surah An-Nahl, verse number 78, where Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He tells us, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala tells us in this ayah, and Allah is the one who brought you forth from the wombs of your mothers not knowing anything. And then He created for you hearing, sight, and the intellect so that perchance you may be thankful. This ayah only shows that everyone was born not knowing anything. And that the only thing that you're going to be able to speak about is that which you have learned. And when it comes to the deen of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, or about Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself, that everyone started with nothing, and when he's going to speak about Allah or the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, is going to speak about it in light of the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, كَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا فِيكُمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْكُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمْ مَا لَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ. In this verse 151 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, as we have sent to you a messenger from amongst yourselves, reciting to you our ayat, and purifying you, and teaching you the kitab and the hikmah, and this is the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to teach you that which you did not know. So here in this ayah also we see that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sent to humanity, as He tells him, Surah Al-A'raf, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا. Say, O humanity, I am the messenger of Allah to all of you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to teach us that which we did not know from the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He tells us also in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 168 and 169 and even to go on to 170 inshallah. Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اتَّبِعُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ قَالُوا بَلْ نَتَّبِعُ مَا أَلْفَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعَقِلُونَ شَيْئًا وَلَا يَهْتَدُونَ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, O humanity, eat from that which is in the earth, from the halal khayr. And don't follow the footsteps of shaytan. Indeed, he is an open enemy to you. He only commands you, the shaytan only commands you to do su' wal fahsha, to do wrong, bad things, and disobedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is showing us that it's the shaytan that commands a person to say about Allah that which he has no knowledge of. And our Shaykh Abu al-Hassan al-Ashari, rahimahullah, is explaining that from our aqidah, from our belief, is that we don't speak about Allah without having any knowledge. And that we only speak about Allah in Allah tabarak wa ta'ala's deen with knowledge of His book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah adds, making this point a little clearer, as He says, and when it is said to them, follow that which Allah has revealed, they say, rather we follow that which we found our forefathers upon. Even if your forefathers didn't have any reasoning and they weren't guided, are you still going to follow them? So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us, not only does the shaytan command us to say about Allah that which we have no knowledge of, rather that the people after shaytan commands them this,
When the people call them back to that which Allah has revealed, then the people go back to that which they found their forefathers on, even if they had no sense and even if they had no guidance from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. In our last class we have mentioned this ayah, and this is the ayah from Surah Al-A'raf where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says in verse number 33, إِنَّمَا حَرَّمَ رَبِّيَ الْفَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ وَالْإِثْمَ وَالْبَغْيَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ وَأَنْ تُشْرِكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَأَنْ تَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah says, and here as the ulama of Islam explained, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala shows the sins in accordance to how severe they are, starting with the lightest sin and then working its way up to the biggest sin. As Allah says, your Lord has only made haram for you abominations, that which is open of it and that which is hidden. And sin and transgressing the bounds without the right to do so, and to commit shirk with Allah, that which He hasn't given anyone the authority to do so, and to say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah shows that the gravest sin is to say about Allah that which you have no knowledge of. And I think we were just mentioning that earlier this week, where some of the disbelievers, when you call them to Islam, they say, I believe in God, but Allah knows best, or God knows best, which religion is the truth. I just believe and I'm going to worship Him the way I feel I should worship Him. And He knows what's in my heart. And He knows what's in your heart, and He knows that it's corruption and sin and shirk and kufr, and He's going to punish you with the hellfire for that statement. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His prophets and messengers to teach the people how to believe in Allah properly and how to worship Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah has made amongst the gravest sins to say about Allah that which you have no permission of. When someone says, I believe in God and I'm going to worship Him the way I feel, did Allah give humanity the permission to say, I believe and I'm going to worship any way I like? Allah hasn't given anyone this permission. And when someone makes this statement, then he's lying about Allah with that which Allah has given him no knowledge, or speaking about Allah's deen with that which Allah has given him no knowledge of. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Ash-Shura, verse number 11, verse number 21, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ وَلَوْلَا كَلِمَةُ الْفَصْلِ لَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَإِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He says, or do they have partners that have prescribed for them in this religion that which Allah has not given them permission of? And if it wasn't for a decisive statement, then the affair would have been decided amongst them. Indeed, the wrongdoers will have a painful chastisement. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking to the one who speaks about Allah or the deen of Allah without any knowledge. Do you have some partners that's describing that foolishness for you, that which Allah has given no one the permission to prescribe? And if it wasn't for the final statement where Allah is going to make the judgment day take place, if it wasn't for that, when the affair would be decided, if it wasn't that Allah had decreed that this judgment day would take place when He wanted it to take place, it would have already been determined right now that you'll be in the fire because of the statement, or because of the inventing in this deen that which you have no permission of. And Allah says, for the wrongdoers is a painful chastisement. And not that they should think that because they lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now and Allah didn't punish them. Like sometimes you see the people, they disbelieve on Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but it looks like He has a good job and a nice house and a nice car and a big family and respect amongst the disbelievers and what have you. He thinks that he's over. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already decided
if you speak about his deen without having any knowledge, if you disbelieve in him and his prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then the issue has really been decided, except that Allah had decreed that it will take place on the day that it takes place. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his safety on that day. These ayat are amongst the ayat that make it very clear to us that no one has the permission to speak about Allah or the deen of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala without any knowledge. And Allah says in Surah Al-Isra, verse 36, I think it is, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَادُ كُلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ عَنْهُ مَسْئُولًا. And Allah says, and don't say that which you have no knowledge of. Indeed, the hearing, the sight, and the intellect will all be questioned. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forbidding us directly in this ayah to speak without having any knowledge. To say that which you do not know, to say you saw that which you haven't seen, to say you heard that which you haven't heard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited this and said that the hearing, the sight, and the intellect will all be questioned. And that will take us back to the first verse that we mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who brought you out of the wombs of your mothers and you didn't know anything. And then it's Allah tabarak wa ta'ala who gave you your hearing and your sight and your intellect so that you can use it to benefit you by understanding the book of Allah and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to only speak with knowledge and not to speak without any knowledge. Because if you do, then your hearing and your sight and your intellect will all be questioned. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us answer what we're questioned about in accordance to His book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. And this is the brief explanation of the point of the Shaykh concerning our point of belief, and we do not say about Allah that which we do not know. And he goes on to say, رحمه الله, وَنَقُولُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يَجِيءُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كَمَا قَالَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا وإن الله عز وجل يقرب من عباده كيف شاء بلا كيف كما قال تعالى ونحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد وكما قال سبحانه ثم دنا فتدلى فكان قاب قوسين أو أدنى. أبو الحسن العشري رحمه الله, he says, and we say, indeed Allah Azza wa Jal will come or will arrive on Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the Day of Resurrection, just as He said in Surah Al-Fajr, verse number 22, and your Lord and the angels will come row by row, or will arrive row by row. And indeed Allah Azza wa Jal gets close to His servants as He wills, without any description. As we see in Surah Al-Qaf, verse 16, where Allah says, and we are closer to Him than His jugular vein. And as Allah says in Surah Al-Najm, and then He got closer, and His closeness was two bow lengths, or bow like from a bow and arrow, or closer. And some of the ulama, they differ concerning the meaning of this ayah. And it seems that which is most authentic is the statement of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that this was Jibreel getting closer to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Isra wal Mi'raj, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended up to the Sidrat al Muntaha. At any rate, we see from this statement of the Shaykh our belief that Allah would arrive on Yawm al Qiyamah. And this statement that Allah arrives, or that Allah is closer to His servants as He wills, these type of statements, and the Shaykh is giving this as an example, as he has given other examples before, that we don't try to interpret it. How is Allah going to arrive? Only human beings arrive. Is He going to come in a car? Is He going to float? Is He going to fly? How is Allah going to arrive on Yawm al-Qiyamah? This question, how Allah does what He does, is a bid'ah. But we believe in what Allah has described of Himself in His book and we submit to the description of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And if there was any how to it, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was entrusted with explaining the book, as Allah tells us, وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Then we would have had the explanation to this, from where Allah says, and we have revealed to you the revelation so that you would explain to humanity that which was revealed to them, so perchance that they may reflect. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with explaining the Quran to us. And if there was an explanation how Allah came or arrived on Yawm al-Qiyamah and how Allah is closer to you than your jugular vein, if there was going to be an explanation, then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would have explained it. But we believe in the ayah and we believe in their apparent meaning and what Allah describes Himself by in His book. There was a point that I had left out from the previous point, and I'll mention it now inshaAllah ta'ala. And this is a statement of Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi rahimahullah in his explanation of the Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah, and this is the one that's been translated into English in about 90 something points, I forgot what they call it, Islamic creed or something, by Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi rahimahullah. At any rate, in the explanation of his Aqidah, the Shaykh Ibn Abi al-Izz al-Hanafi rahimahullah, he says that every group from the companions of Bid'ah, they compare the text of the Quran and the Sunnah to their bid'ah. And what they think, or what they have established from their own intellects. So what agrees with their program, the people of bid'ah, from the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, then they say, this is the ayah that we use as proof to establish the bid'ah that we have. And if the ayah goes against their bid'ah, then they say this ayah is from the mutashabihat, no one knows its meaning. And then they either deny it like that by saying, we don't know its meaning, we just believe in the ayah and continue to practice their bid'ah, or they just take the meaning of the ayah and give it a brand new meaning to coincide with their bid'ah, and then they call this the tafsir, or the proper explanation of the ayah. And the Shaykh is just mentioning this point, and it's proper that he mentions this point on the issue of bid'ah, as we have mentioned it before, that the people of bid'ah, they have a different path than the path of Ahlul Hadith, than the path of Al-Ta'ifatul Mansura, than the path of Al-Firqatul Najiyah, different than the path of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, different than the path of our Salaf al-Salih, whose path was we hear and we obey. We hear the ayah, the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then we obey, meaning then we use that as our way that we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As opposed to the people of bid'ah, they get together and then they establish what they're going to be upon, and then they read the Quran and the Sunnah and try to get points to support their own foolishness. And the Shaykh is making a refutation on them by showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't reveal any ayahs to support your foolishness or your bid'ah or the things that you invented, as the people invent things right in the 14th century, the 15th century Hijra after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then they say that this ayah is referring to us. As I remember, before I accepted Islam, when the people from the nation of Kufr, they were going around the project then door by door asking people to join. And I remember he quoted to me, which Allah says in Arabic, Muhammad Rasulullah, والذين معه أشداء وعلى الكفار رحماء بينهم. That Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him are hard against the disbelievers and merciful amongst themselves. They said, see brother, this is proof that Elijah Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. As Allah says, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Tell me, did you know anybody named Muhammad before Elijah Muhammad? He's the messenger of Allah. And this is how the people of deviance use the ayah, if it coincides with their bid'ah, to say that it supports. And then if you quote an ayah like the other ayah, you tell them, okay, we give you that one. What you going to do when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you in Surah Al-Ahzab, وما كان محمد آباء أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين. Where Allah says, Muhammad is not the father of any men from amongst you, but he is the messenger of Allah and the last of the prophets. Alright, how are you going to take that ayah and understand when we know that Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had already come before Elijah the liar? How are you going to say that there's another one coming after him when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had finalized this message? Or like the statement of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And we have not sent you except as a mercy to al-alameen. Talking about the Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abdi Munaf sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So this is how the people of Bid'ah, they use the text. If it looked like it coincides with their program, then they use it for their program. If it doesn't fit with their program, then they give it another meaning. And we see the examples of it, unfortunately, in our lives every day. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from deviance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place us on the siratul mustaqeem. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to be amongst those who follow our salaf al-salih. The Shaykh, he continues with his statement, وَمِن دِينِنَا أَن نُصَلِّيَ الْجُمُعَةَ وَالْأَعْيَادَ خَلْفَ كُلِّ بَرٍّ وَفَاجِرٍ وَكَذَلِكَ سَائِرَ الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالْجُمُعَاتِ وَالْجَمَاعَاتِ كَمَا رُوِيَ عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ يُصَلِّي خَلْفَ الْحَجَّاجِ. The Shaykh rahimahullah, he says, and from our deen, meaning from our aqeedah, from that which we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon, is that we make salat to al-jumu'ah, and we make the Eid salat behind every person who's leading the salat, whether he's righteous or criminal. And likewise, we make the rest of the salat and the jama'ah salat behind every leader, whether he's righteous or criminal. Just as it's been narrated on Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma that he made salat behind Al-Hajjaj. And Al-Hajjaj is Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, one of the criminal leaders of the Muslims. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us of our sins. This chapter is a big chapter, and we'll take from the book the explanation of At-Tahawi rahimahullah concerning this chapter. This chapter that we make salat behind every leader, whether he's criminal or righteous, many of the ulama, when they write their books of the belief of the Muslims, they include this chapter. Even though there's no authentic hadith reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the hadith sallu khalfa kulli barrin wa fajir, I command you to make salat behind every righteous one and every criminal, has not been authentically reported on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith of salatu wajibatun alaykum ma kulli muslimin barran kana aw fajira wa in huwa amila bil kaba'iri wal jihad wajibun alaykum ma kulli amirin barran kana aw fajira wa in amila bil kaba'ir. This also has not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the statement goes, and the salah is compulsory for you with every Muslim, whether he's righteous or criminal, even if he commits major sins. And jihad is compulsory on you with every amir, whether he's righteous or criminal, even if he commits major sins. These hadith, rather, all of the hadith on this chapter of making salat behind every leader, whether he's righteous or criminal, have not been authentically reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, as a few of the ulama have written books, and I forgot to bring the book with me just to show you, that the ulama have written books called No Authentic Hadith Has Been Reported in This Chapter. And then they bring the chapters from the books of Aqidah and the chapters from the book of Fiqh, and they show the chapters that have no authentic hadith reported on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to support that point. And amongst the chapters is this chapter. However, from that which has been narrated authentically from the Sunan of Al-Bayhaqi rahimahullah and others like Imam Ahmad And the people say that it's in Sahih Bukhari, and the ulama say that they have not found this hadith or these narrations in Sahih al-Bukhari, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that Abdullah ibn Umar made salat behind al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, and also Anas ibn Malik made salat behind al-Hajjaj. And here Ibn Abil Izz describes him as a fasiq and a zalim, a serious sinner and a wrongdoer. And this is because he spilt the blood of many, many, many Muslims, and amongst them was the most knowledgeable person on the planet Earth during his time of the Book of Allah, Sa'id ibn Jubayr, from amongst the Tabi'in, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He killed him because he didn't give him the bay'ah. So it is sufficient, as the ulama, to say that this was the way of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and this is sufficient for evidence. If there's no ayah or no hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we find the way of our Salaf al-Salih from amongst the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam all agreeing upon something, then this is in accordance with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "La tajtami'u ummati ala dhalala," in the authentic hadith, that my ummah will not all agree on something wrong, or something astray, or something not from this deen of al-Islam. And if the Sahaba of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam agree to a point, then this point is from this deen, as they would have never agreed altogether on a point of deviance. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam shows us in this hadith. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us in this hadith. There are other hadiths that lead to the point, or lead around this point, to show us that it doesn't make a difference who's leading the salah when it comes to our salah being acceptable or not. And I'm not making that statement, it doesn't make a difference who's leading us in salah, period, but just in relationship to our salah, as it does make a difference who's in charge, and you hope that the people are leading the salah are amongst the righteous from amongst us. At any rate, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the authentic hadith of Imam al-Bukhari, يُصَلُّونَ لَكُمْ فَإِنْ أَصَابُوا فَلَكُمْ وَلَهُمْ وَإِنْ أَخْطَأُوا فَلَكُمْ وَعَلَيْهِمْ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that they make salah for you, the leaders. If they're correct, then they get the reward and you get the reward also. And if they're wrong, then it's against them, but it's for you. Meaning you're still okay, and the problem is with them, and you don't wear the problem that they have. And this hadith, and hadith that are similar to this, you can find them in the Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows that the salat of the imam doesn't invalidate the salat of the people behind him, and that the people behind the imam, that their salat is okay. So this is the chapter that Abu al-Hasan al-Ashari rahimahullah, he brings, and the ulama, they bring it and they explain this in their books of Aqidah, as Ibn Abil Izz rahimahullah, he begins to explain, as he says, "I want you to know, may the mercy of Allah be upon you and upon us, ameen, that it is permissible for a man to make salat behind a person that he doesn't know if that person practices bid'ah or if that person is a major sinner." And all of the ulama agree to this point. And it's not a condition for the people behind the imam to know if the imam's aqidah is correct or not. So that they say, what is his aqidah? Rather, we make salat behind the imams that we don't know their circumstances. Meaning, if you don't know, is he from amongst the imams of the sunnah or from the imams of deviance? If you don't know, you just make salat behind it. And it's not behind the people to say, well, I don't know his aqidah. Is he salafi? Is he from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Does he have the correct aqidah or not? Because if he don't, I make a salat behind him. And if he does, then I will. That the ulama all agree that it's permissible to make salat behind him, and it's not for us to worry about whether he is straight or not, because if he's not, it's only against him. And if he's okay, then everybody benefits from it. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. He goes on to explain, Ibn Abil Izz, rahimahullah, that if a person makes salat behind a mubtadi', an innovator, who is persistent on his bid'ah, rather, and he's calling the people to practice the bid'ah that he practices, or a fasiq, a major sinner, a serious sinner, whose sins are open for the public to know. If he is the imam, meaning the official imam, not just like if you got a group of brothers in the park or something like that, and you say, okay, you lead salah. Not that type of imam, but the imam who's in the masjid regularly to lead the five salah, or amongst those who have been appointed as the imam. If he's a mubtadi' calling to his bid'ah, or he's an open sinner and his sins are known to the whole community, if he is that imam that has been appointed, then the people must make salah behind him. And this is for the Jumu'ah and for the Eid salah, and for the salah like in during Hajj time. And this is the position of the overwhelming majority of the scholars of the Salaf and the Khalaf, meaning the earlier scholars from the companions of the Prophet ﷺ and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in and those scholars, and then the scholars of the latter generations. They all agree that it's permissible for a person to make salat behind a person like this. And he also says that the majority of the ulama, that they say, whoever does not make Jumu'ah, or the five compulsory salat in Jama'ah, behind the imam who's a sinner, and then he is an innovator. Meaning, he's a mubtadi', the one who doesn't make salat. Like the person, and we hear this, unfortunately, from the people who claim that they're on the sunnah. You say, akhi, what masjid you make salat in? He says, I don't make salat in the masjid, because the masjid near my house is where the people practice bid'ah. This isn't an excuse to not make salat in the masjid. Rather, most of the ulama say that you are a mubtadi', rather you are the innovator for not establishing the five salat and the jumu'ah in that masjid. And some of the people say, I can't take it when they go to jumu'ah because the imam is on deviance. And they say that they can't take it, so they don't make jumu'ah. No, you have to establish the jumu'ah and the five salat in the masjid no matter what the imam is upon. What the imam is upon is against him. And if he's okay, then you're okay. But it doesn't affect you what the imam is upon, especially if you know what the truth is. And he explains that what is correct is, even if the imam is just out of it, like some of the imams that we know, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, they don't even know how to read the book of Allah, the Quran. And that's just the start of what they don't know. And their khutbah is the biggest evidence that they don't know anything except the news and the newspaper and magazines like whatever, Ebony and Jet or something like this, because this is what their khutbah is based on. The ulama, they explain that if you make salat behind these type of criminal imam, that your salat is acceptable, and this is what you should do, as we found the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam making Jumu'ah and the five salat behind criminal imams, and they didn't make their salat over afterwards, like the example that we quoted from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma behind Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf and Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Rather, he quotes the narration of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, as he made salat behind the leader Al-Walid ibn Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayyid, and this leader used to drink alcohol or use intoxicants. And it's not surprising as it was when I first read it, but even you might have people today, imams still getting high until it finally takes them out when like crack comes or something strong comes, then it just takes them out, and it used to be the imam. Until one day, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was making fajr with this alcoholic leader, and he led Salatul Fajr four raka'ahs. After he finished, he turned around and he looked to the people and he said, should I have done a little more raka'ahs for you? And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he just said, so long as we've been making salat with you, you've been adding all kind of stuff. So why not now add some more? So this only shows and this example that what he does, this is going to be against him. But this deen of al-Islam, it's a deen of order, walhamdulillah. It's a deen of commitment, of loyalty to leadership and respect for leadership. And this is the deen of al-Islam. And this deen, walhamdulillah, is not the deen of chaos and not the deen of following your own opinion. Not the deen of democracy where everybody thinks that his voice means something. Leadership in Islam, it has to be obeyed and has to be respected. And if that leadership is criminal, then you make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces that criminal leadership with a better leadership. But to go against the leadership and to be open against it by not establishing the salat, not establishing the Jumu'ah or the Eid because the imam is out of it, then this has no place in Islam for the people with the correct belief. And it says, some of the ulama say, wallahi, Allah has not done you wrong by placing these criminal leaders over top of you, but you wrong yourselves. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. The Shaykh, he goes on to explain that even this sinner, open sinner imam, this deviant, mubtadi' imam, even his salat is acceptable for himself. Even his salah is acceptable for himself, inshallah ta'ala. As nobody said, as there's no ayah or no hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam that says, if you are bid'ah, if you are mubtadir, then your salah is not accepted. As we have some of the narrations that say, if you drink while you're drunk, that your salah is not accepted, or whoever drinks the salah is not accepted for 40 days, or what have you. But just because you're a criminal sinner imam, or a mubtadir, or a deviant, or what have you, it doesn't mean that your salah is not acceptable, except from that which we have the text of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Not like some of the people think, the imam, he recites the Quran. I remember being in a masjid, wallahi, I didn't know what he recited, except that it had to be Fatiha, the first one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew best what the last surah was after he recited Fatiha. Some of the people, they think, how can you stand behind an imam like that? Because this is my deen that I believe in. And that imam is going to be reliable and accountable to his Lord for going in front of the people. No, he doesn't know how to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for myself, I was obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we'll get our reward according to our obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Sometimes you may dislike a thing that's better for you, and sometimes you might like a thing that's no good for you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has laid out our deen for us, and He's made it clear. And a part of this is to make salat behind the imam, whether he's righteous or criminal. And the Shaykh Ibn Abil Izz al-Hanafi rahimahullah, he goes on to say, however, if an imam is an open sinner like that, criminal imam, practicing bid'ah or whatever, don't make him your imam. And most of it, and this, I wanted to leave this part of the explanation, as it definitely applies to our case when we have, in general, most of the people had the option to choose the imam. And even, fortunately or unfortunately, every year there's an election, do you still want the imam or you want somebody else? And really, in this case, we place as our leaders the criminal imams that we have. So here the Shaykh is saying that don't put those people as your imams. If they're already there, then they have to be obeyed and they have to be followed, and you have to make the salah behind them. But when you get the choice, don't place them as the people in charge of yourself. Rather, what is more proper is that those people be punished for calling to bid'ah, and that they be punished for practicing their open sins with the punishment called ta'zir. And this is where the imam chooses because of a particular deviance that the people are practicing, or some of the people in the community are practicing, that the imam will punish him. Like stand on the minbar and tell your name and tell about that stuff you've been doing to the people, or whatever that the imam wants to do, to say, let everybody take a shot in the chest at the brother because of the deviance that he's upon, or the deviance that he's spreading in the community, or what have you, that this type of ta'ziyah. And he goes on to say, if it's possible, boycott him. And to boycott him, we know, is not to speak to him, not to give salams to him, not to smile to him, but to be harsh and rough with him until he repents and comes back to that which is correct. He says also that if you have the option, and this is going into a little more detail, that if you have the ability not to make salah behind him. And this doesn't mean leaving off the Jumu'ah or leaving off the five salat. It's for the example, you live in the neighborhood where the deviant masjid is at. What you do is, you travel a little farther to the masjid of the sunnah. And this way you don't leave off the five salat and you don't leave off the Jumu'ah, because if you do, you're a sinner. Rather, you might be a mubtadi' like the masjid you're running from. In this case, he said, it might be good. As if all of the people left his masjid, the masjid of the deviant, and went to the masjid of the sunnah, then he might feel like, maybe I can't continue with these sins or this deviance. Maybe I need to change my program and get back on the sunnah, and that this is good if the Muslims have the ability to do that. As opposed to when you don't have the ability to do so, then you have to establish the jama'ah and the jumu'ah behind such an imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and to rid us from these criminal deviant imams. And this is, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, this is a summary of the explanation of this chapter that we view as a part of our belief and our deen, that we make Salatul Jumu'ah and the Eid Salat behind every leader, whether he's righteous or criminal, and likewise the five Salat and the other Salat in Jama'ah. We establish it like the Taraweeh or what have you, the Salatul of the Eclipse or what have you, that's in Jama'ah, or the Janazah, that we establish these Salat behind the Imam, whether he's righteous or criminal, his sins, he will meet Allah tabarak wa ta'ala on, and we won't be held accountable for what they do. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam, wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, wa subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I don't know if there were any questions to today's points of speaking about knowledge, speaking about Allah without any knowledge, or the characteristics of Allah, or this Salah behind the criminal imams. Yes.
I was talking with a brother, and he said you can make Salah on the Shia. He said, and I said, and I asked him a question. I said, even if they believe that they have to put this stone down from Harbor before they pray. Mm-hmm. And he was saying, yes.
Yeah. This point right here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. This point is one of the special characteristics of the people of the truth, that they make salah behind every imam, righteous or criminal. And you don't find anybody except the people of the truth with this position. As all of the deviants unanimously agree, we ain't making salah behind nobody but our people, meaning his deviant group or his deviant sect. And you find them, they go to an area, and some of them, وَلِعَوْذُ بِاللَّهِ, we heard say, wallahi, I'll never make salah except in a masjid of deviant imam so and so. Let's continue after the adhan, inshallah. We'll continue this question after the adhan, inshallah. Allah Akbar, Allah. Jannah, and to save us from the fire, because the people of this community, they don't have no excuse after they hear this again 5 times a day. I don't know how they're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by not answering that call. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to always keep us on this sirat. This point really of making salat behind who's leading the salat, this is a point, unfortunately, that we found many of the people who said that they were Salafi have deviated from this point. And when they were called to it, they act as if somebody got something against them. I thought we were all Salafi or something. This deen don't work like this. This deen is based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and our alliance and our allegiance is to Allah and following the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the way of the Salaf al-Salih. And if it's for us, alhamdulillah, and if it's against us, then it's for us to get our act together. So it's for the people to understand this point and to practice it. As far as the Shia are concerned, then many of the Shia aren't really Shia, they're Rafidah or the Rawafid. and this is their proper name. And they only tricked us because of our lack of understanding of their deviance and to thinking that they're just Shia and it's okay. Really, the Shia were the people who used to just say Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu is better than Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And this is because of the many, many narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the first boy who accepted Islam. He was raised in the household of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had put him in charge over the people. He had fought in the battle of Badr. He was one of the ones who fought, the duel in the beginning of the battle, and all of the virtues of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The people used to say Abu Bakr is first, then Umar, then Ali, then Uthman. Those people were called the Shia. These people who say that the Quran we have is not complete, and the people who say Abu Bakr was a kafir and Umar was a kafir and all of the companions were kafir except seven, Bilal and Yasir and the few that they named, Fatima radiallahu anha, all of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people make statements like that, they're the Rafida. And many of the ulama say they have left Islam. And if you made somebody, if you made salah behind someone who left Islam, then you ain't made salah. This is like Mr. Kafir coming and leading the salah. Hey, how y'all doing? I'm a Kafir. Just line up like y'all do when y'all do your thing and let me lead you. I mean, if you follow somebody like that, and a lot of times this is the case of these people who are the Rafida and they're not the Shia. And the best thing to do is to try to ask them, as our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Rizq ibn Tarhuni, I used to say, ask him, what's your madhab? If he says my madhab, if he says his madhab is Ja'fari, then that's a statement of kufr in itself, and you know he's a Kafir. And all of them, they admit nowadays, the ones who follow Khomeini, and this is the majority of the Shia in the world, they say their madhab is Ja'fari, and this is the madhab of kufr, and Imam Ja'far, rahimahullah, is free from the kufr that they call Islam. And this is why you see the kuffar pushing up the Shia as if they're okay, and they built that museum masjid for the Shia in Washington way back in order to put the people on that foolishness. So this is different than a criminal imam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes, sir. Yes.
Spring Valley, New York. They got a masjid. Yeah, it's like a Turkish mosque, right? And they got, like, they don't have no salat. All week, no salat, no Sabbath salat. They have dhikr on Thursday night or something like that, you know. They did. And then Friday they have Juma. And it's all there, everything is just crazy, right? It's all too. Now, is that, if, are you, do you have to go there for Juma? If, like, if you have three or four brothers that want to just make Juma, can they establish their own, you know, on the Sunnah, and they live in that area, or they're from that area, but every Friday, that place is filled up with 200, 300 people, but there's no Salat during the whole week?
No, this point, this is the point of our aqidah. We make salat behind them, right or wrong, on it, off it. And the best thing to do is, as we're saying, whoever can go to the masjid of the sunnah, then that's better, to leave them. But when you're there, you have to make the salat with them, and you can't just invent and make up new masjids every time somebody is off it. You make dua, or Allah, change the hearts of the people, so maybe the latter generations can be on it. Then you see masjids where the first generations are off it, and the latter generations that come behind them are on it. So maybe that bid'ah won't last forever, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rid the bid'ah of that masjid and of all of his houses. But the best thing to do is what we encourage the people to do, just leave that area altogether so that you save yourself from it. And you go to an area where the masjid is trying to practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to free yourself from this. But nobody has an excuse to leave off the salat and the jumu'ah or to do his own thing, because the masjid is off of it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Masjids in Philadelphia. One is follow Messiah then.
Now, what's the point, though?
And the other way is that Habashi master that, you know, people call it Habashi. They say things. I was in the Bawa Mahayadeen masjid one time.
No, what's the question, though?
Yeah, the question. In the Kutbah, the Imam said that Bawa Mahayadeen said the five major sins are. And then I jumped up almost, and then he changed the statement.
And then he changed the statement?
He changed the statement, said Allah said the five major sins are. After that, I, you know, can you pray in that kind of stuff?
What's different from that place than the places we just talked about this point?
I mean, they seem to be worshiping this Bawa Mahayadeen. He had a place that he was.
They're Muslims?
They say they're Muslims.
Are they?
Huh? I don't know.
What you mean you don't know? Somebody say Muslim, he's Muslim, inshallah. Unless he makes it clear about him that he left Islam. For example, really, somebody, and we had covered this already, somebody got to say, I ain't Muslim, not to be Muslim. Like, for example, like we quote for the clearest example, Farrakhan. I don't care what nobody say, Elijah, and he start going on. Yeah, he out of it. Somebody print on his newspaper, come, brother, we the Muslims. Come get on this paper, after you read on there, Farg came in the person of, yeah, all this stuff. Clear statement that you left Islam. The best thing to do is what we've said. Salat is behind everybody, whether he's criminal or righteous. If you have the opportunity, go to where the people are practicing what's correct. If you don't, stay there until Allah changes your condition. Allah knows
best.
Allah ibarifi. Allah ibarifi. No.
No, I was saying that people, they are places from Khalifa.
How you know them?
I'm familiar.
Naqshbandiya. Allah mustar. At any rate, this point is important for us to understand that this is the point of the people who are on the correct guidance. And there was a few points that I mentioned as we were covering this aqid over the past year or so, that when we come to the point that's particular to the people of the truth, we got to make sure we on it. And I don't know how often I've advised the brothers everywhere I go, listen, mix what that crazy imam is on. Go to the masjid, establish the five salah, and the jumu'ah, paint the masjid, clean the rug, give your sadaqah for the lights and the bills that have to be paid at the masjid, and your reward is with Allah, and this is Allah's deen. Nix what he on. He got to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You act like if you paint the masjid, the imam don't have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you won't be a sinner for maintaining the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Listen, this is our deen, is going to the masjid and maintaining the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the leadership. This is from our deen. If the leadership is criminal, the best thing we can do is practice right guidance. That's the best thing we can do. It's to practice that which is correct and to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah answers the dua. Oh Allah, if we're doing good, change our imam to a good imam that's going to practice the sunnah. That's going to practice it with his life and join us to practice the sunnah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that dua if the people sincere. But you're saying, oh Allah, if I'm okay, give me this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows you're still just as halfway deviant as the imam. And really, in a lot of the cases, you find when the brother's saying, oh, the imam is, if you ask him questions, he almost just like the imam. And really, most of the imams, even with their deviance, were the most knowledgeable amongst the Muslims. Maybe until these latter generations. With the influx of many of the translated books now and the authentic sources, that maybe now you have regular people knowing more than the imam, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. But just before this, the imams, they knew more than everybody. You say he deviant? Yeah, he deviant. But he still know more about Islam than you do, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We ask Allah to correct our belief and to stand on that which is correct, like it or not, alhamdulillah, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina.